last week, something surprising happened. Pennsylvania Health Secretary Rachel Levine announced the number of confirmed deaths from COVID-19 in the state actually went down.
As of 12 a.m. today, there are 1,421 total COVID-19 deaths. So this is an actual decrease of 201 than was reported yesterday.
Why did this happen? The answer is in the detailed charts and spreadsheets the state puts out every day. And the whole thing begs the question, how much stock should we put into this data to figure out how the pandemic is going anyway? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why.
My name is Ryan Briggs, and I'm a data reporter for WHYY News in Philadelphia.
Ryan has been following all the data released by the state during the pandemic, including death counts. He says this story starts before Dr. Levine's announcement.
About a week before that, I'd noticed that officials in Philadelphia were reporting way more deaths than state officials were recording for the city. Most of the information that comes out around the pandemic comes from the state's Department of Health. But some cities like Philadelphia have their own Department of Health, which also gathers statistics and puts out its own facts and figures about the number of people that have contracted the virus or that have died. And they in turn report that information to the state, at least in theory. But, you know, when you're looking at the figures that the state is releasing versus the figures that Philadelphia's Department of Health is releasing, you can see that there's, you know, this massive discrepancy between the number of reported deaths here in the city versus the number of official deaths that the state is reporting for Philadelphia. When we asked about that, health officials at the state level kind of gave us a runaround. The official explanation was that it was just a computer glitch, and that beyond that, city officials had lagged in entering in death totals to the state's reporting system. But later on, it kind of became clear that there was probably a lot more going on than just those two kind of technical issues. The ultimate outcome of that was that the state was reporting an official death count that was hundreds below what it probably should have been if it was taking into account all the people that were dying in Philadelphia.
So you heard about this computer glitch. What happened next?
I mean, the next thing we knew, the Pennsylvania Health Secretary, Dr. Rachel Levine, made an announcement that they were lowering the state's death total by 200 from the day before.
And that reflects that the probable deaths have been removed from the count because of further investigation.
They said that the probable deaths, the ones where doctors were saying, you know, that in their best estimation, this person had died from COVID-19, those wouldn't count. Only deaths where a patient had been tested and confirmed to have tested positive for COVID-19 would they be counted in the state's official death tally.
And why did they do that?
To be perfectly honest with you, I don't know that I fully understand it, but the health secretary said that it was to reduce confusion around the number of people who had died in Pennsylvania.
These cases were previously reported as probable, but further review has determined that we needed more information before we could attribute them to a death related to COVID-19.
From our perspective, this was, you know, a pretty remarkable change because the CDC guidelines say you're supposed to be counting probable COVID deaths. A doctor doesn't need a positive test result to put COVID as the cause of death on a death certificate. The CDC says those deaths still count.
As we have said many times before, we continue to refine the data that we are collecting to provide everyone this information in as near time as we possibly can. This is really difficult with thousands of reports each day. So that was a lot about statistics and epidemiology. So we hope we got this right for you.
Why would somebody who was, you know, so sick with COVID-19 that they eventually died, why wouldn't they get a test? Is it just because there aren't enough going around?
Testing shortages are definitely part of the problem in Pennsylvania, pretty much like everywhere else. You know, there's been a shortage of testing kits. And for a lot of hospitals, when somebody shows up and they're, you know, really sick, their first priority may not be administering a test to just be super sure that, you know, they have COVID-19 and not a different strain of flu or pneumonia or something like that. At least that's what Andrew Neumer, associate professor of population health and disease prevention at the University of California, Irvine, told us.
If someone walks in already in respiratory distress, the hospital is more interested in giving that person supportive therapy, keeping them alive, than they are in, you know, getting a test result.
And also, I would say other local doctors had told us the same thing, that treatment and care is priority one. And if somebody looks and seems like, you know, they're suffering from COVID-19, they may just say that, in their opinion, you know, that person has COVID-19. And I guess the flip side of this that is important to understand is that it's also really critical that you save test kits not for the people who have the most severe symptoms. You want to be testing people that could potentially, you know, walk out of that hospital and say, you know, I'm not sure if I have COVID-19 or not, but maybe they do, and maybe they're going to spread it to other people. So it actually becomes a lot more important to, you know, preserve the tests for people who are maybe in the beginning stages of the virus and would still have the mobility, you know, and ability to spread the virus to other people.
Right. So a positive test just isn't that important for a doctor treating a patient with, like, pretty severe symptoms.
Yeah. I mean, as one doctor told us, you know, their first priority isn't bookkeeping. It's tending to sick patients. And that means that not everybody who is positive gets a positive test result, which means that Pennsylvania will now be undercounting deaths from COVID.
And give me a sense of the stakes there. What are the consequences of undercounting?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a small but vocal minority of people who I think are extremely skeptical that, you know, the pandemic is as bad as some have made it out to be. And I think that by undercounting, you know, you provide sort of a fuel for this skepticism that is not really based in any kind of, you know, medical expertise. So that's one consequence there. But maybe more importantly, you know, these are the numbers that the state is using and other officials are using to guide efforts to reopen the state. And I think having an inaccurate or perhaps like a rosier picture than reality of what's going on and sort of the true toll of this can skew those efforts. And, you know, if you reopen the state too soon, you could see a resurgence in COVID cases, which as of right now, you know, really have only plateaued. You know, I mean, I think that maybe it's oversold how much we've even seen a decrease in the number of cases. So we're, you know, we're still very much in the midst of this, and making decisions off of an incomplete figure or an incomplete view of sort of what's going on, I think, could have real, you know, public health consequences.
We are actually looking at the confirmed counts, that confirmed data, to make those decisions, to make a final determination about reopening a region.
I have yet to find another medical expert that believes that this is a good idea or that this is doing anything to sort of add clarity to our understanding about this virus and the toll it's taken on the state.
We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Annette. We felt all kinds of things when the pandemic hit. Fear, anxiety, and most of all, uncertainty. And so we at The Y vowed to ask the big questions about what we know and what we don't know yet. But here's the thing. We can't answer those questions if our reporters aren't out getting the answers. So please, consider making a pledge of support today at whyy.org. And thanks.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Y. I'm Shai Ben-Yakov, talking to Ryan Briggs with WHYY's Plan Philly. Ryan, you're WHYY's data reporter, which means that during this pandemic, you've just been sifting through a lot of numbers trying to figure out what we should be paying attention to. So I want to talk a little bit about how you analyze the data that you get and figure out what's most important for people to know. So what are the main metrics that you're looking at on a regular basis to just figure out how the pandemic is going.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at information that's released by county and state health departments, and these would primarily be the number of positive test cases, the number of negative tests, and, you know, count on the number of fatalities that have been linked to COVID-19.
And what does the number of negative tests tell you about the overall scope of the problem?
I guess what you would really want to look at here is, you know, that ratio of positive tests to negative tests. In general, you know, if you don't test for COVID-19, then you are never going to find any cases of COVID-19 that you could, you know, confirm as a positive test result. So the number of negative tests is really important because that gives you a sense of the scope of testing and how many people are being tested and how many people out of that cohort are testing positive for the virus. The key is to have that widespread availability of testing and a shrinking portion of positive tests. That would be a real indication that, you know, that the pandemic was starting to abate.
Does the state put out information about who's getting coronavirus, how old they are, race, other demographic information, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's some general data. It's again, you know, there are accuracy issues. Not everybody always documents the race of someone who's died or tested positive, but you can get at least, again, a sample of kind of the overall trends here. And we're able to say that a very small number of young people, you know, have died relative to the number of older people and nursing home residents that have succumbed to the virus. We know that in places like Philadelphia, and this seems to be consistent across the state, that Black people are contracting the virus and dying from the virus at a disproportionately high rate. So, you know, you can see a little bit more detail than just the raw numbers.
So, Ryan, if you're looking at these numbers on a particular day, you see a point in time, you see, you know, maybe a high number of deaths, or what you consider a high number of deaths, but like over time, how do you create the picture of where we are and how do you kind of make sense of it and understand it?
Well, as you say, you know, we look at these numbers every day, we record them every day, we visualize them every day with charts and graphs for news purposes. And if you are looking at these numbers on a daily basis, you can see massive fluctuations from one day to the next. So one day you could see a very high number of cases, the next day you could see very few. And if you were sort of hanging on that daily change, you might say one day, wow, things are looking really bad. And then the next day that they're looking, you know, pretty good. But a lot of that has to do with just sort of reporting issues, lag times in terms of labs turning over results, lag times in terms of government processing and posting new information. And what, you know, what we try to do is to just sort of visualize these numbers over a longer period of time, you know, look at weekly change, rates of change averaged over, you know, a period of time to kind of smooth out some of those outliers.
That seems really challenging when things are changing so fast, like, for example, the state changing its policy on who gets counted in these numbers at all. So are you always kind of looking at the chart and saying, oh, we have to take this number with a grain of salt because something changed on that day or around that time? Like, is that something that you are constantly doing now as you look at the numbers?
Yeah, I would say that that's essentially what we're doing. We just know the numbers are probably wrong all the time. And you just try to, you know, do your best to sort of minimize misinterpretation of, you know, the information that's coming out of the state or the city. It's an insurmountable obstacle, but I don't know that there's really like a better way to do these things because people want daily updates. They want to know how things are changing day to day. And this is the best and, I guess, more importantly, the only data points that we have to really measure any of that. And, you know, that's how we've been trying to treat it in some of our reporting, is that it's more of a kind of rough guide instead of a literal picture of every person that's gotten COVID-19 and every person that's died, you know, during the pandemic, because we know that it's not that.
So we've talked a lot about what we don't know. What do we know about how the pandemic is going in the Philadelphia region?
I mean, I'm not a public health official, but what we can say for certain is that we know that there are more people who have this virus than we've currently documented, and probably far more that have died from the virus than we've documented. I mean, if you look at numbers, you know, for Pennsylvania, the best thing that you can say right now is that they've plateaued. but the numbers in terms of new cases and new deaths are still really high that we see every day. And, you know, we haven't seen them start to go down in a real and consistent way yet.
Ryan, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me, Shai. I appreciate it.
Ryan Briggs is the data reporter for WHYY's Planned Philly. WHYY reporter Nina Feldman contributed to this reporting. The Y is produced by Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Stay safe, and we'll see you Monday.